everybody be just a minute. We're going to do a little bit of Pentecostal exercise here. We wanted to take a minute to recognize all of our service members that had served in the military. Please stand. We'd like to honor you. It was because of these guys that we have what we have today. You know, I think more important than honoring our military is honoring our veterans in the Lord.
Yes.
Because I thank God for the liberty we have in the Holy Ghost, because of men who have stood and fought for it, stood behind it, preached it, and gave everything they have. I don't mean to diminish the honor the military deserves, having served myself and having a son that is a disabled combat veteran. I am very thankful for the prayers of the saints and the fact that God watches over us wherever we are and hears our prayers. I'd like to honor my pastor and his family. God bless us the day that they rolled into Buford, Georgia. Don't you know that God loves us to send us a pastor like that? I'd like to also thank all of you who have been in prayer for my wife. For those that have brought food, the Bardwells, the Jets, the Copelands, thank you so much. You will never know how much it means to be remembered when you're down and out. And it's just like the family. I love this family. This is a family like none you will ever have. And you know, families, we have strange people. Every family has strange people. But we're all God's children. That's the process. That's how it works. So if you would stand and turn to Scripture. I do understand we're running tight on time today. I was told I could go as long as I want, but they were leaving at 12, so I will try to be brief. God is good to us. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 4, beginning at verse 3. I'm forgetting that everybody brings their Bible. Should be in the Word. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Let's pray this morning. Lord, we come to you in need today, God. We've got to hear from you. I pray for your anointing on my lips, God. Give me the words to say. I pray that you would touch our hearts with the power of your word. Change someone's life through the power of your word today. Thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Directly before the reading of the scripture here we have in chapter 3, we read about the fall of mankind, how they fell into sin, and how they were cast out of the Garden of Eden. What an awful day. I can't imagine what was going through Adam's mind and through his spirit as he was being ushered out of the garden. The Bible tells us that God put an angel with a flaming sword at the garden's entrance to keep them from coming back in. And I can imagine Adam walking away with that backward look over his shoulder, like, what have I done? What have I done? And it's one of those things that sort of gives you a sinking feeling when you see somebody make such a major mistake like that. But in our reading, we read that Cain and Abel brought offerings to the Lord. Now, the scripture doesn't tell us, but this is the first time it's mentioned that they brought an offering to the Lord. I can't help but believe that it was something that they did quite regularly. Adam knew that when he brought an offering to the Lord, it was sort of a thank you, God, for not completely forgetting about me. After being cast out of the garden and the fact that they were no longer walking with God, that was what they did. They brought offerings to God. And I know Cain and Abel did not dream this up on their own. It was something that they were taught to do. You know, it's important to bring an offering to God. And I think as a parent, it's very important that we teach our children how important it is to bring an offering to God. That's why kids in Sunday school, or the harvest, need to bring an offering to Sunday school. Make them feel a part of what they're doing. Not everybody else. We all need to be a part of this. Not just, you know, a chosen few people, but everybody needs to bring their offering to the Lord. Now, when I was doing my study for this, I read about, it says that they brought an offering. It didn't say they brought a sacrifice. Now, there's some overlapping in terms and definitions here, but an offering is defined, number one, as a tribute. And we've heard that word used throughout the Bible, how they would capture people and put them under tribute, and those under tribute were required to bring an offering to the ruling force. And that payment was made as a sign of dependence. They were dependent on the ruling country. You know what? I take great pleasure in bringing tribute to the Lord, bringing an offering and tribute to Him that I cannot make it without Him. Pastor has preached about our dependency, being a dependent on the Lord. I can't do anything without Him. I need Him every day. I'm helpless without Him. I've got to have His direction and His hand in my life. Some other meanings of the word offering are a gift, alms, a donation, and it has been compared by some scholars, it's been compared to the worship that we bring when we come to church. You know, I marvel sometimes, it's a sort of a curse sometimes sitting up here playing the bass or whatever and seeing the Holy Ghost move and people just sort of sitting there. And I know I've said that before, but I'm like, oh my goodness, God is visiting us down close. He's come to embrace us, and we can't even give an offering. Oh, God help us. We've got to offer that. Now, the sacrifice portion is defined as an act of giving something valued, not necessarily of value, for the sake of something else that is regarded more important or worthy. We sing the song, we bring the sacrifice of praise. I don't know any of us that have given anything to God more valuable than what we've got in return. That would be like me taking a broken watch and trading it to somebody for a gold Rolex. The sacrifice was not on my part. I took my broken life and I gave it to Him, and He gave me life that I would never have experienced without Him. Where is the sacrifice? I haven't given anything of any value in giving Him my life, because without it, without Him, I can't do anything anyway. Many have criticized Cain for his offering. They say because it was of a cursed ground. I really don't know that that was the problem, because in Levitical law, there is a provision for bringing a grain offering, bringing something from the ground. I believe the problem with Cain, from what we read, is that he had a real attitude problem. You know, for those of you and us that come to church every time the doors are open, we have to be careful that it doesn't become old hat. We get used to it. It just becomes just another thing. I think the priest, when they would appear before the Lord in the Old Testament, when they went into the tabernacle and went into the Holy of Holies, that was a very sacred thing, and it was important that it not become old hat to them. Their offering better be right when they brought it before the Lord, because He told them if it wasn't, He was going to kill them. Now, God hasn't told us that, but I want Him to accept my offering that I bring to Him. There are other differences indicated in what is told about Cain and Abel's offering. Abel's offering is described as being of the first fruits. It is like the best. The best that he had to offer. And then it just says that Cain brought an offering also. I can imagine in my mind that this, like I've already said, was not the first time that an offering was brought, when they brought an offering. But I can't help but believe that Cain just got tired of it. You know, folks that get tired of coming to church usually don't. But Cain came anyway. He came to bring an offering to the Lord, and he just sort of, okay, God, this is as good as it gets today. And God was not happy with that. And the conversation that he had with him in verse 6, he told him, he says, "Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted?" Cain, at some point or another, had experienced God's approval of his offering. Now, we read in several places in the scripture that when God accepted an offering brought, there was an answer by fire. I just can't help but believe that when Abel offered his offering, he loved God so much, gave him the best he could possibly give him. I can't help but believe that there was fire from heaven fell and consumed that offering that was brought to him. I don't know about y'all, but I love it when the fire falls in here. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Accept our offering. Could it be that Cain had offered so many offerings that they ceased to mean anything? You know, the first fruits are very important. Brother Mayer is a master budgetarian. Is that a word? I don't know. Sounds good to me. He's tried to teach us all to be good stewards of what God has blessed us with. You know, we're going to be judged about that one day. We're going to be judged on how good a steward we have been. And so my wife and I had this budget that we tend to pull our hair out on occasionally because sometimes the numbers don't add up, they don't match like they're supposed to, and we have to stop and figure out where it went wrong. But without question, the first thing to always come out of our budget is tithe and offering. If you don't run your budget like that, I challenge you to run your budget like that and see what God does. God will bless you. And if he doesn't bless you, don't stop doing it. You're breathing, aren't you? He's blessed you anyway. You want to pick how God blesses you? That's really not how it works. If you need something, go to the Lord with it. He'll answer your prayer. Let me just side note this for a second. My wife was in the hospital this week, and God's been good to her. And I mentioned the folks have brought food, and it's been a very big blessing to us. A week or so before, my wife's trip was a little short. She missed some time because of having to go to the doctor and all the pre-op stuff. And so when her paycheck came last Friday, it was like her paycheck covers the food budget. And if you run a budget, you know that you do what you do the way you do it, how it works for you. And so there was a little bit of money left for the food budget. And we're like, okay, God's going to take care of us. And we're like, we really didn't, it's not that we didn't have a choice, but it was like no time to stop, figure it out. We'll let God handle that. And I was praying, I said, "Lord, I really don't even know what I need. I know what my budget says, but you are a lot better accountant than I am. Take care of us. Whatever we need, would you provide it for us?" I mean, you don't know that that's what God does. God will do it again and again and again. You won't need it too much. Meals were brought, and then a delivery vehicle showed up with some food. I'll tell you what, God knows what we need when we need it. That's why it doesn't do for us to figure out what our needs are. God knows what they are, and he'll provide for us. All right? So God asked these three questions. He said, "Cain, why are you mad?" You know, it's sort of like my dad always laughs and said, "You know, it's funny when people say, well, it hurts when I do this." He goes, well, don't do that. And God asked Cain, "Why are you mad? You know why things have happened the way they have happened. When you come to God and things aren't going right, stop and look at yourself. Okay? God has never let me down. He has never, ever failed me. I may have thought he was late, but in return, when I looked at the situation, I was like, oh, I was wrong." That's what God does. So why should I be upset when it don't happen the way I want it to happen? So he was absolutely burning with anger. And the Bible says that he was mad at Abel. And there is a historical writing actually referred to in the scripture, the book of Jasher. I don't know if anybody's ever read it. But there was a really neat occurrence they talk about this situation. We know that Abel was a shepherd. He had his firstlings of the flock, and he according to the book of Jasher, he happened to go through Cain's field. Oh, and must have ate his crops. And the Bible said, the book of Jasher says that he confronted him and slew him right there. And the book of Jasher goes on to say that he was very remorseful and shed tears and buried him right there. But he was mad enough, and he was the one at fault. Forget the crop. He was the one at fault because he brought a secondhand sacrifice to offer to the Lord. The second thing God says, why is your countenance fallen? Number one, you're mad, which is silly because you know why. Well, then why is your countenance fallen? As Pastor says, why are you dragging out your tracks with your lower lip? You know, people pout most of the time when they're wrong because they thought they could get by. You know, I can remember when I was very young, stupid young, and thinking, oh, I'll be different. My situation, I'm going to do it like everybody else has done, and I'm going to have a different result. I promise you, if you offer an offering like Cain offers, you will not have a different result. You will have the very same result. God will not accept a half-hearted offering. And I'm talking about people that know about offering to God. We all know about offering to God. We know about giving Him our best. The last thing that God said to Cain was, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? It was obvious. Cain knew the answer to that question. And you don't ever hear what the reply was between Cain and God, but he knew that if he did the right thing, God was going to take care of it, accept his offering, and his blessings would be on him. I don't want to get caught up in being so busy that just anything will do. God is not pleased with half-hearted, second-handed offerings that we bring to Him. He wants our very best. He wants us to bring of the first of our efforts. I think David said in Psalms, early will I rise and call on Thee. How many of you get up early and pray in the morning? It's difficult, isn't it? It's hard work, isn't it? Guess what? You could have slept for another 30 minutes. But what would you have got out of that? Nothing. What do you get out of that time of offering praise and prayer to Him in the morning? He's with me all day long. Of course, He's with me anyway, but we have a little good start, a little kick start in the morning with that early morning prayer. Offerings that we give to God are not made on our terms. God has set forth a requirement. Who would not want to give the best to somebody that has given everything for you? You know, we're honoring the veterans here on Memorial Day weekend, and the saying goes, all gave some gave all. We have that throughout the church. We have people that have different, varying abilities to give more, to give less, to do something. But what we give is the best we've got to give. Whether it is something little, I think of the woman that Jesus was in the temple one day with his disciples, and a woman came in, and she sort of looked around, and she dropped her two mites in the box and scurried out of the temple. And Jesus said, hey, look, see that lady over there? She just gave more than everybody else. She gave her best. She gave everything she had. Does the Lord have your everything? God wants people to give Him everything they got. Let's all stand. Jude chapter 1, beginning here at verse 4, it says, we'll read two verses here. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were able, or who were before of old ordained of this condemnation of godly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus. Skipping down to verse 11, it says, woe unto them, for they have gone after the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. You know, there's three men mentioned in this little verse right here. Ran after Cain, they ran after the way of Cain, then they ran greedily after the error of Balaam. We see a progression here that goes from offering a secondhand offering to going seeking after gain for doing God's work. And then we go to the guy that's actually standing up against God's man saying he knows better. God's not pleased with that kind of thing. And the thing about it is, if you can capture this while it's early, get it while it's small. As a great philosopher said one time, nip it in the bud. Get it quick. Don't let the kudzu grow. Get out there and dig that thing up. And in our hearts, we can get that little attitude of, well, God, I did. But no, that's not the point. It's what are you doing now? This is not a push start. This is something we have to keep getting behind every time. God wants to do great work in our midst. He wants to fill people with the Holy Ghost. He wants to fill this building up like it hasn't already been done. He wants to fill up the next building. But how is he going to do it if we don't give him our best? God is looking for the best from every one of us. And I've already mentioned, some people only have the two mites. Give it. Give what you've got. I've heard people say before, well, I don't make any difference. How about at voting time? My vote don't count. Yes, it does. It has been proven time and time again that everyone counts. Your contribution counts. That's why it's important that you teach your children to give an offering. You make a difference. If you don't give God your best, what does he have to work with? You know, the scripture tells us that he inhabits the praise of his people. If we came into church and we just sort of,
come on.
What has God got to inhabit? What is he going to fill this place with if there's nothing to inhabit? We've got the truth. We've got this Holy Ghost power. And we have to fill it up. Cain knew what it took. He knew what he would need to offer. He knew he should offer his best. I compare him to a church person. So one of us. That we come before God all the time. There's a little difference for somebody that comes in the door that's never had a relationship with God. God is looking for somebody that's interested. How many of you know that when you called on God the very first time, he heard you and it made a difference? It was like, oh God, you'll never hear me a sinner. I've heard people say, well, I don't think you'll take me. You wouldn't feel that if he didn't want to take you. God has opened this door for us today to offer our best to him. And I want to open the altar for someone today that needs to make that change in your life of offering just whatever you've done for so long. This is a time for a contribution like we've never made before. It's not a time to go, oh, it's not worth it. I'm telling you what, I can't think of a better time to do it. Our world is a mess. We're getting worse every day. There are things, we're going south in a hurry. And I'm not talking about Georgia. I'm talking about our country, our moral mind. There's a book that I read part of it, a little clip out of it, Slouching Toward Tomorrow. And they're talking about the moral decline of our country, how it really got started in the 50s. Then it got ratcheted up with the children of the 50s, into the 60s, into the early 70s. Now nobody's responsible for anything. Nobody has to apologize for anything. Nobody has to. Just do whatever you are happy to do. And if you're not hurting anybody, and now it doesn't even matter if you hurt anybody, God is looking for people that will sell out. Give whatever it takes to make it an acceptable offering to God. I want to give him my best. I don't want it to all get down to the point of, you know what, you really could give a little more. You know the difference. I know the difference. I know when I've given my best. You know when you've given your best. I can't tell you the times that I've gone, oh God, please forgive me. That just was awful. You know what? Let's move it in the right direction. You got to recognize it first. And when we make those apologies to God and we repent, there should be no exclusion. And, well, God, I'm sorry, but, you know, that ceases to be an apology or repentance right there. God, I'm a sinner. I have failed you. Please forgive me. There's no buts to it. God wants to do something big in our lives today. God wants to fill this place up. He wants to win this city. He wants to pour out his spirit on more people than we've ever imagined. We look here and we're like, well, where would we put them? I don't know. That's God's problem. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He wants us to be part of the harvest. The Lord of the harvest has called us to be workers in his field. Anybody want to be a worker in his field today? You're not going to get in there by doing half of the job. God needs us to give us everything we got. If you feel that need for the Lord this morning, you recognize the fact that there is a need for repentance in your life, I invite you this morning to come and give your heart to the Lord. Not one of those things, God, this is all I'm going to give you. You're all get anywhere with God like that. You don't get anywhere with God unless you make him Lord of all. He's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. For us that have been around a while, if you find yourself holding back, a very scary story I read in the book of Acts about a man and his wife, Ananias and Sapphira. Bible said they sold a piece of property and determined in their mind that they were going to keep back a part. I looked that keep back a part up and it said embezzle. They were going to keep it back for themselves for hard times. Where was their faith? Why did they give it all to God to begin with? Were they holding out, oh God, in case you don't come through, I'm ready. God's coming through. I don't want to hold back. I want to give him everything I got. Let's come and pray this morning. Let's have God take a hand.